Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Stelman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me once again for another great conversation that is here for the purpose of empowering you with truthful information so you can get the most up-to-date knowledge and make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And as always, I have some wonderful guests that are going to be on the show, and today is another one of those very inspiring people. You know, we hear a lot about toxins, and I've done shows recently with experts talking about how toxins are contributing, actually a major contribution to autoimmune diseases, the role of toxins to weight gain, the role of toxins to increase incidence of Alzheimer's, and toxins that are even affecting our DNA. So we have to be aware that we do live in a very toxic world, and it may surprise you that one of the most toxic places of all happens to be our home. So today we're going to be talking with Beth Greer, who is the author of Supernatural Home, Improve Your Health, Home, and Planet, One Room at a Time. And she's going to be sharing with us some of the key strategies to create a home that is toxic-free, safe, and healing. So just a little bit about Beth. She is known as the Supernatural Mom, and is a best-selling author of Supernatural Home, an expert on toxin-free living. She's a speaker, holistic lifestyle educator, and environmental health advocate. She hosts the radio show Kids in Crisis on BBM Global Radio, helping parents with breakthrough drug-free approaches to treating kids with behavioral problems, autism, ADHD, anxiety, and addiction. She's a former president of the Learning Annex, a nationally acclaimed adult education company. Beth eliminated a tumor in her chest without drugs or surgery by making small but significant lifestyle shifts. She helps educate people through her webcasts, personalized in-home or Skype detox consults, and webinar training. So it's such a delight and a pleasure to have Beth with us today. And by the way, her website is supernaturalmom.com. So Beth, hello and welcome.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. I know you've been really dedicated and passionate about sharing this message, and it became a important message for you based on your own journey through life and the things that happened to you. So let's start with talking about your personal journey and your experience with that tumor.
Yeah, I thought I was leading a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, I exercised, I watched my weight, I had a glass of wine every now and then, but nothing significant. I didn't smoke. I even had a meditation practice. And so it came as this complete shock to discover that I had this mass in my chest. I discovered it because I was in pain in my shoulder, and pain was radiating down my arm, and my first three fingers were getting numb. And I went to see my chiropractor, and after five treatments with him, it was getting worse. And he said, well, you should probably get an MRI because you probably have a herniated disc. And so the MRI showed that there wasn't a disc herniation, but instead this mass. It was the size of a tennis ball. And it was such a shock to me, you know, because I thought I was doing everything right. And I had it biopsied, and it was benign. There were no cancer cells, but it was very painful. And the doctors were all telling me, you know, I needed to have surgery right away because this could turn cancerous at any moment. And the fear, you know, that just kicked in was astronomical. And I went to three different top surgeons, and they all had different opinions about how they wanted to remove the tumor. One wanted to cut me under my collarbone, And the second one wanted to go in under my armpit. And the third said he was going to remove one of my ribs from the back. And I just thought,
this is insane.
You know, so I had coincidentally booked a week for some R&R because stress played into this as well. I was running a large business and I needed some rest and relaxation. And I went down to the Optimal Health Institute down in San Diego. It's a place where you have, you drink wheatgrass juice, you eat sprouts, you know, and you meditate. And there's a lot of internal cleansing, too, that goes on, colonics, things like that. So 3 days there, I started noticing, hey, I don't need sleeping pills to sleep anymore because the pain started diminishing, even though it was just imperceptible. But it was, I noticed that it started, there was a shift. And I thought, okay, what have I done here? What am I doing? So I realized that I was simplifying what I was putting in my body by just eating raw and green. And so after a week there, I came home and I declared, okay, I'm going to continue this diet. And as I did that, I was starting to feel better and better. And then I thought, well, what else can I simplify? And I was putting some moisturizer on my skin, and I looked at the label. And, you know, many of us read food labels, but we don't read the labels that we're using on our skin, for example, a shampoo, deodorant. And I realized that I started pulling everything out of the cabinet. So looking at it, it's like, oh, my God, there's all these paragraphs worth of chemical names that I just didn't know what they were. And so I started researching. And I realized that the stuff that I was putting on my body was toxic. And so I started switching out to all-natural products. And one of the things, my favorite thing is I switched to baking soda as a deodorant, just plain old baking soda. I put it in a salt shaker and sprinkled it under my armpits, and it works great. So, and then the third thing I did, I looked at what else could I simplify. Well, what was my cleaning my home with? And I remember I was holding a bottle of Windex, and I looked at the label, and on the back it says, precautionary statement, hazardous to humans and domestic animals. And I thought, wow, they're selling this stuff, and it's, you know, they're giving this warning. And so I switched to hydrogen peroxide and vinegar and baking soda. Anyway, long story short, it took 6 months of these lifestyle shifts, and the pain was less and less and less and less. And then at 6 months, it was gone. And then 6 months later, I had it scanned, and the mass had disappeared.
You know, it's such a wake-up call when you get an experience like that, when your body is telling you that there's something that you need to address, to change, to wake up to. And even though it was benign, you still got caught into that fear. And fortunately, you were guided to really investigate what was going on and how to make the changes to support your body to heal.
Right, because what I realized was that our bodies are self-healing. If we get out of their way and just give them what they need, as much natural products, and be out in nature, and you know, we are a natural being of the earth, you know, so to speak. And so the things that I was eating, I had been microwaving my food, I was eating out a lot. I came to understand that my body wasn't recognizing a lot of the things that it couldn't process all this stuff. And so I created what my naturopath called a body burden, and my liver was stressed and all this. So it just gave everything a chance to kind of go back to homeostasis and be healthy. And I feel and look younger now than I did 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because you know, this kind of perfect storm was going on in your life from what I hear. First of all, you were through your business, you were dealing with a lot of stress. And so that was going on. You were, unbeknownst to you, still exposed to lots of toxins in your home and your environment because you hadn't really read those labels and you were spraying and slathering yourself with all sorts of things that had chemicals in it. I mean, you know, there's just this, you know, this gestalt of things that are going on. And it, the fascinating fact that I recently learned is that when you are dealing with stress, which generates inflammation, it impairs the detoxification pathways in the body. So whenever we are under stress, we are already compromised in being able to eliminate the toxins that we're exposed to on a daily basis. So there you go. You know, you're even more challenged.
That makes sense. Right. That makes a lot of sense. So I wound up selling my business and then focused full time on doing research and writing. And so that experience turned into the book, Supernatural Home. And I broke the book up into three parts, what goes in us, what goes on us, and what surrounds us. And I have solutions in there. It's not all just doom and gloom about what to stay away from, but I have tips and easy ways to make shifts in your life that can help prevent disease and, you know, I believe can cure as well. So I'm not supposed to say, you know, the book will cure you, But you know, it's really good to have an open mind about these things and understand that just because something's on a store shelf doesn't mean it's been tested for safety.
So the important concept is this body burden that we are accumulating in our toxic world, because the fact of the matter is we are exposed to thousands of chemicals every day through our food, water, and air, as much as the stressors and stress experiences that compromise our body to deal with this. So it's a huge problem that's facing our 21st century world, more so than ever before. And if we do not have the ability to properly detoxify, have the liver work in a way and the kidneys work and our lymph system work in a way that we can dispose of these chemicals or transform them into more benign forms, then we are going to have a problem, and it is going to show up in a variety of ways. It's so interesting how we all get our wake-up call to get us on track with our greater life's purpose, though, isn't it, Beth? Because this changed your life, this experience. Changed your direction.
Absolutely. It totally changed my direction. And then now, you know, I have another experience with my daughter, and that's sort of not completely changing it, but it's an offshoot. So my daughter, who, again, I thought, you know, I did everything right with, but she wound up born with ADD, because I had adopted her at birth. And I know that the birth mother took Tylenol, and I'm aware now that taking Tylenol in pregnancy can create ADD in a child. So she had that, learning difficulties, and then became addicted to drugs and alcohol. And all the doctors wanted me to do was put her on meds, and I refused. And so I found alternative ways to help my daughter, who's now in recovery, and she's, you know, she's doing great. She's 19 years old and living on her own in L.A., going to college, and anyway, there are alternatives to all these problems that we're facing. Safe alternatives.
You know, Beth, you have such a wealth of life experiences between your journey and your daughter's journey that I'm sure now are being shared in the work you do out into the world, and really necessary, because these are not uncommon experiences that people are going through on a daily basis, and we need to have those people to help guide us. And I know that's what you're doing in your work, which is so wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the role of our home and how much our home plays a part in exposure to toxins. Well, when I was doing my research, and I don't know if it's still true, but what I said in the beginning of our interview, that for many, many people, our home is more toxic than the outside world. We're exposed to hundreds of chemicals before we even step out the door. And I recently heard on a radio show that it's advised to take your shoes off as you go into the home and not wear them in your home, because your shoes, and you think about this, it makes common sense, your shoes and what we step on and where we go throughout the day can be carriers of toxins and germs, and not that I'm a germaphobe,
absolutely,
but certainly we tramp in all sorts of things. And it was an interesting comment, because I don't do that, but I thought, you know,
that's
I have to
first...
start doing that.
Right. That's one of the first things that I tell people to do. And I wrote about that in my book back in 2009. And so now that I've become aware, that's the other thing, is that when you become aware of this, so my home is a shoeless home. And now when I go into people's homes who wear shoes, I cringe, because I know what's going on in there. You know, the feces from the animals and the petroleum, you know, when we cross the street, the car exhaust and all that, we're tracking that into our homes and our bedrooms. And then if we have children crawling on the carpets or the floors and putting their hands in their mouths, I mean, it's just horrifying. So, yes, I make everyone take their shoes off when they come to my house.
Well, I'm going to have to start doing that, because it's a habit, and you have to develop a habit. And I guess if you just have a little shoe rack or something to remind you as you walk in that now it's time to take off the shoes. And I think it's a great idea when you really give that some thought about what we're exposed to on a daily basis as we walk around, wherever we're walking. We're walking on chemicals for sure, you know, and they come along with
us. What I try to do is have some socks that I can give people, because sometimes people, like, they don't want to walk around barefoot or their feet are cold or whatever, but... I've had some guests come over, like I've had a dinner party, and if a woman is kind of petite, she's like, I'm not taking my heels off, because this is a whole look here going on. You know, it's so funny that people are very kind of attached to their shoes. So, but yeah, it's a good thing to do.
So, so you say there are three things that we need to be aware of if we want a really healthy home free of toxins. What are those three important things that we need to be aware of?
Right. Well, the three things are the things that I mentioned earlier. Just be aware of what goes in you, what goes on you, and what surrounds you. So really pay attention to, you know, your food and water, and try to have the purest, you know, get a water filter and eat organic food and try to eat, you know, non-GMO food. And then what goes on you, just the purest, most natural products to put on your skin. You know, read your labels. And then again, for your what surrounds you, the air that we breathe in our homes, as you mentioned, is so toxic. So the household cleaners can be a big, have a big effect. And the fragrances, that's kind of a big no-no, having synthetic fragrances. So one of my clients had a chronic cough for 2 years. She was on codeine cough syrup, and the doctors just couldn't figure it out. And she said to me, you know, the funny thing is when I sleep in a hotel, I don't cough. And I'm like, hello, there's something going on in your home, right? So I came over, and I looked in her kitchen, the living room, everything seemed fine. And then when I walked into her bedroom, she had all these scented candles surrounding her bed. And I said, well, here's the problem, because if you see the word fragrance on a label, it can mean up to 100 different synthetic chemicals. 100. It's a catchphrase that manufacturers use. And so she really didn't want to get rid of the candles because, you know, oh, they're expensive and they were gifts and they're so relaxing. And I had to just sort of put them in a bag and, you know, play tug of war with her a little bit and just say, well, let's just try this for a week and see how you feel. And then a few days later, she called me up and she said her cough is better. And, you know, it's like, of course. And then looked at the fragrances and all the products she was using on her hair and, you know, perfume and scented lip balm, and everything was scented. She was kind of like the scent freak. So it's not so innocuous, these kinds of things. So what surrounds you is my third. So aside from the scents, and also, I know you talk about electromagnetic fields. You know, that surrounds us too, and it's really important to be aware of those.
Because the electromagnetic fields are actually a toxin in themselves. We don't think of it in that way, but it is impacting the body, and the body is responding as though it were exposed to another toxin. So it becomes further body burden of a toxic exposure. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, when you're talking about all these scented things, that I've given up scented things, and I love essential oils because they have become my way of putting healing fragrances or real healing scents into everything I do, whether it's my own type of personal perfume that I create, or whether I have it in a diffuser in my home, whether I throw it in the shower, on the shower wall, right. And I breathe it in. But there's so many ways to use essential oils, the pure organic essential oils, as a way of getting the fragrances that are actually healing. And I think, that's just another important point we can share with people as a strategy. If they want scents, get the real healing essences, but not synthetic fragrances.
Right. And be aware that not all essential oils are the same. And so if it says oil, sometimes it could say fragranced oil. So you want to make sure it says 100% essential oils, and then, pure essential oils. Those are the ones that you want to look for. And I am 100% in agreement. I have a diffuser going. It's a lovely way to create a mood in your home. I use lemon essential oil when I'm cleaning, and also peppermint. I love peppermint essential oil. I put that in liquid soap. Sometimes if I buy an unscented, I would add that. And it's a great air freshener for the bathroom, peppermint oil.
Yeah, so they have so many uses, and like you were saying, you can put them in cleaning products, and they're fantastic, whether it's lemon or peppermint or some of the other oils that are really antibacterial, antifungal. Great to use them. So which room of the home have you found to be the most toxic place for people?
Right. Well, it's a toss-up between the kitchen and the bedroom, but I want to talk about the bedroom because I think that most people are unaware of how much they're being exposed to while they're sleeping. And I know that, you must have covered this in your shows before about the importance of sleep, solid sleep. And so the mattress that you sleep on is really important. You want to have a mattress that's not synthetic foam or that's off-gassing, a smell. You want to find, a natural latex mattress, or if you can't afford to get a new mattress, then get a topper that's made from organic cotton and wool. That's really kind of yummy, and it creates a barrier between you and the mattress. And then, I was thinking about nursery rooms.
Can I stop you here? Wait. So there are all these memory foam things going on right now. You get memory foam mattresses and memory foam pillows. What are your thoughts about them?
No, they're made from petroleum products, and they're not good for us. It may feel good, but they're not good, and they don't allow your body to breathe when you're sleeping. And if you get a wool topper, dust mites do not get attracted to that, and so it's a repellent for that. So on many levels, it's better.
Do they off-gas? Do the memory foam products off-gas?
They do.
Yeah, so you're breathing in these toxic chemicals at night when you should be detoxifying. You're actually getting greater exposure to that body burden of toxins.
Right, and then I was going to talk about the paint. Also, if you're painting a room, you want to buy paint that has no VOCs or volatile organic compounds. And, very often I see children's rooms or nursery, they paint and they put in carpeting, and I walk in there and I get an immediate headache behind my eyes. There's the glues and the carpeting, and then the synthetic carpet themselves off gas, and the paint, it's just, it's a nightmare. So
what do they do? What do they do if they've already spent all this money carpeting and painting, making this baby's room look gorgeous?
Well, one thing they can do is air it out, keep the windows open until, for I'd say a week or more. Just don't put that baby in there until that room that you don't smell a thing when you walk in. It's hard to eliminate, you know, they use these glues on the carpet, the carpeting, and, you know, there are some things that I list in my book, I write about that are ways that you can use to filter out some of these things. And then there's some really good air purifiers. I use something called Blue Air, and that has a, I was able to measure the VOCs, you know, actually go down when I install this thing. So, yeah, there are chapters in my book that talk about how to mitigate this.
Yeah, so, you know, we just need to have this awareness that there are many sources that we haven't given much thought to that are outgassing. While we're still in the bedroom, how about the clothing? How about, like, the pajamas? How about the covering for kids' clothing or in cribs? What about those things?
Right. You know, well, anything that's kind of a wrinkle-free, that's been sprayed with like, a Teflon kind of coating, and so either don't buy them, or if you do, make sure you wash them first, especially the sheets, anything that has sizing on it, or, you know, it needs to be washed in a washing machine with hot water and soap, and just get rid of that. I just, you know, I want to prioritize that. There's so many things, like you're saying, you know, there's thousands of chemicals we're exposed to. I don't want people to freak out. I think you need to start with your basics, you know, and get yourself a good mattress. Don't have any electrical equipment, you know, by your head in your bedroom if you can. And, like, don't have a TV or any lights on. Keep it dark so that, you know, it's really important to get a good night's sleep, that it's not stimulating your brain. And have, you know, natural fibers and things like that. But I don't want people to start thinking, well, oh, my God, I have to throw out all of my pajamas and sheets and all that. But there are certain things that have a higher incidence of, you know, off-gassing that will impact our bodies than we'll have wearing a pair of pajamas that might have the polyester, for example, you know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that over time, you know, like I say in the kitchen, you want to start getting rid of your plastic and choosing glass. Do it slowly. You know, it's not, unless you're one of these people who just wants to make a clean sweep, but take things one step at a time. You know, don't try to tackle everything at once. Otherwise, you go into overwhelm, and then then you get nothing done.
Well, I'm a big fan of just taking little baby steps and keep moving in the direction you want to go. I did have a question. So it's a good idea whenever you're buying new clothes to wash them first, right?
Yeah, especially underwear, stuff that's like right next to your skin, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously you want to use some good organic, you know, cleaning products in the washing machine. And
non-toxic. Sometimes you'll see the word organic on a label and it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless, basically. You know, if you see, I think there's some shampoo that called itself organic, but yeah, it's really meaningless. So you just want to find products that have the least amount of ingredients in there and do, you know, look for, watch out for the fragrances, the synthetic fragrances.
Yeah. And what about those drying sheets? Those dryer sheets.
Yeah,
which
I
don't
say the dryer sheets. No good. I remember I was at a barbecue and there was a professional chef there, and it was outdoors, and she had these dryer sheets everywhere, and she was grilling chicken. I said, "Why do you have the sheets?" She says, "The bees hate the dryer sheets and they stay away." And I'm thinking, "You know what? These bees are smart. They know better than us."
Well, there you go. There's a new strategy for keeping those little critters away. And just roll out the dryer sheets. But there are non-toxic drying sheets, or I think they have these wool balls and things. I mean, there are options if people like to soften their clothing, you know.
Yes. And there's stuff that you can get at Trader Joe's. I know they have, like, sachets made of lavender petals, and you can throw that in the dryer for a nice scent. And yeah. I have recipes in my book also on household cleaners and washing and drying and all that, natural things that you can use.
Well, that's what we want, to have all these great strategies. So we're going to come back and talk with Beth Greer more about all the amazing solutions she has in her book, Supernatural Home, when we come back from our break. So don't go away. Hang in there. We have lots more to share with you. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you are listening to What Women Must Know.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
The Dr. Peter Breggin Hour interviews the most exciting innovators in the field of mental health, from therapists and researchers to advocates of patient rights. Join me and other pioneers in psychology, psychiatry, and empathic living with the aim of improving your life and the lives of everyone you touch. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen live or on the archives 24/7 at PRN.FM. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hi, this is Maria Heller, host of The Maria Heller Show, heard at MariaMeria.net 4 days a week. But every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, you get to hear one of the best shows of the week on The Maria Heller Show right here on PRN.FM. If you missed the show, they're archived right here on site at PRN. Support real truth in media by tuning in and sharing the information you hear with anyone that'll listen. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to What Women Must Know. I'm Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we're having a great conversation with Beth Greer, who is the author of Supernatural Home, Improve Your Health, Home, and Planet, One Room at a Time. And her website is supernaturalmom.com. So go check it out and learn about simple strategies. So, Beth, we're talking about different rooms and the different exposures and what we need to be aware of. And I was thinking on the break, there is one thing that I practice all the time, and that is with dry cleaning. So I do less and less dry cleaning these days. But when I do get something out of the dry cleaner, I never put it right into my closet. I always take it outside, take that plastic wrap off of it, and let it air out, because the chemicals from dry cleaning materials are just so toxic, and they're just, you know, really bad smelling fumes, but they're also emitting, off-gassing a lot of chemicals. So that was just one thought I just had. It's like, always air your dry cleaning materials outside so that you can just get rid of all the chemicals that are off-gassing.
Yeah. Really smart idea. Yes, absolutely.
And I think, aren't there more places that aren't there more dry cleaners that are trying to go green? Is that a real thing?
Yes. It is a real thing. There was a law that was passed, and most of them here where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area are. I don't think there's any traditional ones left. I'm not sure about New York, I know that, the chemicals are a bit safer than they used to be, which is a good thing, because perchloroethylene causes pancreatic cancer. They're shown a direct link to that. So they're safer, but it's still a good idea to take the plastic off, like you say, and air it out.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for years. I just can't stand the smell. I feel sorry for those poor people who still work in those dry cleaning places, which we do have here and where I am in Oklahoma. I don't see too many green dry cleaners yet. So, do the best you can. Okay, why don't we move over to the kitchen? How about that? What are some of your favorite strategies to keep our kitchens toxic-free as much as possible?
Right. Well, I talked a little bit about the plastic. It's starting to switch out your plastic food storage containers. And at the same time, start to move away from drinking out of plastic bottles and get yourself a water filter. And
I want to start with those plastic containers. Are there some plastic containers like Tupperware stuff? Is that safe?
Well, most plastic containers. Okay, so here's the thing. Plastic containers used to contain BPA, and many of them still do. So then scientists came out and said that BPA was an estrogen disruptor, and, you know, it would leach into our food, especially if you're putting acidic food into plastic, like a tomato sauce or orange juice, for example. It would leak this BPA out. And so customers said, well, we don't want to buy this anymore. And so manufacturers said, okay, no worries. Now our products are BPA-free. But what they're not saying to you is, well, we substituted BPA for BPS. So, you know, it's like this toxic shell game that's going on. And it's not fair, you know. People are unaware and they think that they're safe. Oh, well, this is BPA-free. And so, you know, they're buying children's sippy cups BPA-free. Meanwhile, they're still leaching. And if you expose plastic containers to sunlight or, like, for example, if you leave it in a car or whatever, plastic water bottle, you're getting a dose of the chemicals in your water. And then if you using ultraviolet light to sterilize the baby bottles, the plastic ones, again, there was a huge increase in the chemical that was leached out of the plastic. So my recommendation is no plastic is really safe. When it comes down to it, you know, so switch out to stainless steel or glass. Now, okay. I don't have a problem with, like, if you have a glass container and the top of it is a plastic or rubber or silicone, if it's not touching the food, it's not so terrible, you know. So that's kind of my criteria. But you definitely don't want to store anything that's acidic in plastic.
And then when you have those water bottles that you buy from, you know, when you're out there traveling and you have to get a water bottle, which definitely leaches the bisphenol A, but you never want to reuse them. I kind of shudder. I visit with my mom, and sometimes she has a bunch of these recycled water bottles that she's using to drink from or whatever. It's around the house,
right.
And I surreptitiously go around and throw them out because they're not really made to be reusable. You don't want to of the fact that they leach chemicals.
Well, the other thing is that when you reuse them, the bacteria from your mouth is on the lip of it, and then if it's sitting out, whatever, it kind of grows, and then you refill the water bottle, and you're sort of reinfecting yourself with bacteria. It's not a good thing. So because you can't really wash them, you can't throw them in a dishwasher, you know, to clean them. And most people are not washing those water bottles with soap and water, so it's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's
and
really
that's
gross
the other thing. It's like it's wasteful too because. Most of the plastic water bottles are not recycled. They're dumped. And, our waterways are being clogged up with plastic, and it's just not a good thing. So get yourself a good water filter and get some either a glass or metal water bottle and fill it up at home.
So let's talk about water filters because I would never drink tap water. I don't care where I am. I would never drink tap. I mean, unless obviously you're out in a restaurant and you, for some reason, they don't have filtered water. But I'm sure in California, all the restaurants have filtered water. And in Australia,
a
lot of time. Oh, really? Because in Australia, everyone has filtered water there. But, you know, there's still plenty of places. And I would say the majority of places that when you're served water, it's out of the tap. So,
right.
What's the problem with tap water?
Well, it has fluoride in it and chlorine and a bunch of other chemicals that, you know, the only way to really test is you get your, I believe there's a small fee, but you can get your municipal water district, you know, to have your water tested, and then you could really see what's going on in there. But where I live, they have something called chloramines. It's chlorine and ammonia that's bound together, and it's hard to get out. Most of, like, Brita water filters, for example, don't do it. I found a good, sitting on the counter, you know, a canister filter called AquaGear that I like. That is, it gets rid of chlorine and fluoride and all that, and it leaves some of the minerals in your water, which is good because for years I had a reverse osmosis system, and it takes out everything, and I became deficient in minerals, yeah.
I have to say there's a system that I use called Aquasana, and it doesn't take out the minerals, but it takes out the chloramines and a lot of those other chemicals. So it's one I've researched, and they're really affordable. They have whole home filters, but they have some really advanced technology. So it preserves the essential minerals, but takes out all the chemicals. So just want to mention that people want to check out Aquasana. But yeah, everyone should have some sort of water purification system in their home, don't you think?
Yes, I do. That's big. We need to be hydrating, and again, we don't want it. So one of the things at a restaurant, you know, if you let the water sit for a while before drinking it, a lot of those fumes will dissipate. So, because sometimes, you know, you can really smell the water, like you can smell the chlorine or the fluoride in it. But if it sits for a while, it seems to help.
You know, I don't know if this is true, but when I was speaking at some conferences, I met a guy his passion was warning people about the dangers of fluoride. And he would always say, when you go to a hotel, go to the ice machine, get a big, you know, fill up your bucket with ice and let it melt because that is a pure form of water. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't, but that makes sense. I wasn't sure whether the ice cubes have been made with purified water or not. That's interesting.
I never found out why he was saying that, but that's what his advice was.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you would never drink out of a tap, but yeah, maybe the ice cubes. I don't know. I've drank ice cubes that have melted. They taste kind of funky to me. So
I guess we can when we're traveling.
Yeah. There are these systems, and I have a portable one that changed the structure of the water so that it makes it seem like it's more coming out of a mountain stream. So there's a sort of a spiral in there. And so when you pour the water through, it changes the structure, but it doesn't get rid of the chemicals, but at least, you know, it's making it a little bit more bioavailable, I think. So I take that with me when I travel.
Yeah, and there are even water bottles that come with little filters in them, so they allow you to filter out the water wherever you are. And if you're using a tap or whatever when you're traveling, you can at least get some cleaner water. I travel with those as well. So what else do we need to know about things
in the kitchen?
Unexpected exposures that we have control over.
Right. That's good. Well, I was thinking about dairy, you know, in the kitchen where people are like aware that, you know, or maybe they're not, but the fruits and vegetables, you should try to eat organic as much as possible and look for the number 9 on the little sticker that on your fruits and vegetables, that'll tell you that it's organic. 4 means it's not organic. So, people won't really pay attention so much to the milk that they're drinking. So like at Starbucks, for example, you know, getting all these lattes, they're not using organic milk. I mean, you have to ask for it and pay more for it. And just to know that a non-organic milk, okay, these cows have been shot up with growth hormones, antibiotics, lots of other things. So this is what, you know, we are what our animals eat, basically. So this milk, while it might be very tasty, can be particularly toxic to our systems if it's not organic. So then, and then that goes for the yogurt and the cottage cheese and the other cheeses that we're all eating. Try to pay attention to having it be organic, because those toxins will be in the fat content. It kind of stays there. And so you're getting a big dose of that. You're getting pesticides, and you're getting the growth hormones and antibiotics. You know, it builds up over time in our bodies, and especially in our children.
You know, people may not be aware that the agricultural industry, especially the livestock industry, is the greatest user of antibiotics. So when we're not eating grass-fed organic meat, be it beef or chicken or lamb or pork, whatever, we're actually consuming tremendous amounts of antibiotics. And, of course, it's running off into the water system and into the soil. But it's really important to make those choices. Well, what's your response to people who go, it's too expensive to eat organic?
Oh, yeah, I hear that a lot still, which always surprises me. Well, I tell them, well, first of all, it's more expensive to have, you know, medical bills when you get sick. I mean, people seem to make changes when they have a problem, when they get sick. And so my message is, don't wait until you get sick, you know, to make these small lifestyle changes. And so in terms of expensive organic, it's coming down in price. Costco, now I don't know if this is all over the country, but Costco in Northern California has an entire organic section. It's amazing. Fruits and vegetables, crackers, you know, dairy products, a lot. And I love going to farmers markets. And at the end of the day, so the farmers market runs until 1. If you get there at like 12:45, they're giving stuff away. $1 a bag for broccoli. They don't want to go home with it, you know. So, like, they're just giving away a lot of stuff. And it's always a good time to go at the end. I mean, you risk, sometimes if I get there late, there's no eggs left, you know, because I like to buy pastured eggs, and those seem to go first. But you can get really good deals on fruits and vegetables that way.
So before we end our conversation, we have a little time left, but I want to go back to what you were sharing about your daughter, and that your daughter was diagnosed with ADD. And so you've learned a lot of things, I'm sure, to help children who have, you know, ADD and sensitivities and learning issues. Well, what are some of the most important things you've learned that you can share with my audience to help our children?
Well, there are things in our homes, in our kitchens in particular, that can disrupt their nervous system. And so one of them are artificial food dyes. They are banned. These food dyes are banned in Europe because they've done studies on them and then have shown that they cause temper tantrums in children, even normal children. So 60 milligrams of artificial food dyes will cause a disruption in their emotions. And so a typical meal, like let's just say a bowl of macaroni and cheese, a little bag of M&Ms, and an orange soda has over 100 milligrams. That's just one meal. So you're like, you know, you're feeding your kid this maybe 3 times a day with these colorings, because the colorings are in everything. They're in the blue yogurt tubes. You know, they're in the muffins. You have to start reading labels. So they're in the toothpaste. They're in the kids' Tylenol or cough medicine. I've seen Claritin for children and all this. They're in their vitamins. Flintstone Vitamins has food dyes in it. It's crazy. Anyway, so that's what I would, that would be my number one tip, is to start to wean off of the food dyes and see if the behavior changes. It's not. I used to think it was just the sugar. Oh, this kid's on too much sugar, but it's a combination of things. So then, I've been working with this pediatrician who told me that, you know, in the past 10 years, She's seen a huge increase in chronic disease in children. She says like 90% of her patients have chronic disease now. It's just shocking. And they're having so behavioral problems and related to their gut. So when she gets them off of GMO food, genetically modified foods like corn and soy, and switches them out to organic, she says she sees their behaviors change. Their guts heal, because this is the brain-gut connection. And so when their gut heals, then their brain can relax and their behavior changes. So those two things, I think, are really important.
I think they're really important, too. We have to get our kids off of foods that are contaminated with all these food additives. And as you pointed out, they're everywhere, and they have such a disruptive effect on the nervous system. So it's going to create more behavioral problems, learning problems, and then these GMO foods, which, you're so rightly explained that they're really having a huge impact on the health of our gut. So if you're if your gut is impaired, your immune system is impaired, your neurotransmitters are impaired, your ability to absorb and assimilate, everything is affected. Again, the need for organic foods and making them a priority. If you can get organic foods, what's your favorite solution for cleaning produce?
Oh, they have these sprays, these natural, at Whole Foods, places like that, Trader Joe's sells these vegetable washes. And then I have some recipes I can't recall, but, on what to do. But I just wanted to say one other thing about one other, because you mentioned additives, food additives. And I had, I would give talks and I'd have like a show and tell. And so I bought this bread at Safeway, 100% whole wheat bread. And I bought it because I wanted to show the importance of having the word 100% on, if you're wanting to buy, whole grain or whatever, it should say 100%, not the words made with. Well, anyway, this bread, it was just sitting in my pantry, and I realized that it was 11 months old, and it had no mold on it. So it was as fresh as the day I bought it, 11 months.
Yeah.
And I looked at the label, and it had this preservative, an anti-mold agent called calcium propionate. And when I looked that up, it said that it causes ADHD behavior in mice. And so, that would be another one. Stay away from preservatives. This could be impacting, your child's brain as well.
Wow. Yeah, these are such great practical suggestions, Beth, because, we can start making a difference. We can start, reducing exposure. Just having the awareness of what's going on is the first step. And then it's easy to find alternatives. And I know this is what you do. And in your book, Supernatural Home, you can find so many of these solutions, and I'm sure they're on your website. People need to understand that what may not seem like a significant thing, the fact that it's an exposure that goes on day in, day out, and comes in many forms, actually is taking its toll on our health. And then, as you discovered, you arrive at a place in your life where that body burden just, the pail is full and it overflows, and now the body stores it as a tumor, which really is the body storing toxins, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Shoving it away. And it was benign, but even though it was benign, it still terrified you, the thought you have this tumor growing. And, it's a wake-up call. And if you didn't, look for natural solutions, you could have had a rib removed. You could have had a permanent scar. Yeah. You could have had some major things. But the fact that you healed it naturally by reducing this body burden and awaken to the fact that there were lots of areas that you were not aware of that were contributing and made those changes. I just really acknowledge you for doing that. And of course, now you're able to share your wisdom and knowledge with us and with people around the world to help wake people up. Every little bit you do in reducing toxic exposure makes a difference.
Right.
don't you think?
So true. Yeah, it takes baby steps.
Baby steps, I agree. So we have about a minute left. Is there just one last thought you want to leave with us before we have to come to an end here?
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I didn't cover. I think we covered a lot. I guess I just want people to come away with maybe from everything we spoke about today, you know, pick one thing that you're going to do, that you're going to choose today, and then, you know, maybe next week or next month, pick another thing. You know, don't try to go crazy with doing everything at once. And again, don't wait until you get sick. Start making changes now. And then, you know, look forward to health and vitality in the future.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, it's keep learning, keep becoming more and more aware, which is a big job for us this day and age because we are surrounded by toxins. But you're giving us a roadmap, and I really appreciate your work and dedication, Beth. Thanks for being on
the show
today. You're so welcome. We've been talking to Beth Greer. She is the author of Supernatural Home. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.